Today I'd like to talk about brain inflation in of throat. This is based on recent works with Lev Kofman in Toronto and also a student in University of Tokyo, Takeshi Kobayashi and Shinichiro Kinoshita. Okay. So to begin with, I'd like to show you this famous diagram called Cosmic Ouroboros. This is just a snake swallowing his own or her own tail and growing. And what this is saying is that there are many interesting phenomena at different physical scales. And what is important is that they are related to each other. And more importantly, the physics at the largest scale and the physics at the shortest scale must be connected in some way. So that's what this picture called Cosmic Ouroboros is saying. Okay. And of course, we know that at the largest scale, we have cosmology. So let me remind you a brief, very brief history. Very briefly, the history of our universe. So in the beginning, the universe was in the regime of quantum gravity, so we don't have much about it. But some people say that it may be born from nothing, but no one knows. Anyway, nonetheless, many of us believe that the universe experienced a period of inflation shortly after its birth. And in this period, the universe, the small patch of the universe was expanded to a very large universe, okay, exponentially. After that, the hot Big Bang universe, or the kind of fireball, started. And after that, the universe cooled down gradually, and many things happened, something like the combination of hydrogen atoms and the structure formation and so on. And now we believe that our universe today is filled with mostly with dark energy and dark matter. Okay, this is the history of our universe, very roughly speaking. And cosmic microwave background experiments such as COBE or WMAP is measuring kind of snapshot of our universe at this epoch, which is around the time of recombination. Okay. So what I'd like to stress here is that the three components in the history of our universe, namely inflation, dark energy, and dark matter, are almost confirmed by observation, such as cosmic microwave background and the supernova observation. So this is a very interesting situation. I mean, we almost pretty sure that they are there. The inflation in the early universe and dark energy and dark matter today. But we really don't know what they are. Namely, what drives inflation and what dark energy and dark matter are. Okay, so there are three major mysteries in modern cosmology. Okay, coming back to this cosmic Ouroboros. So we have three mysteries here at the largest scale. On the other hand, we think that, many of us think that the string theory is a theory describing the physics at the shortest scale. So I think it's natural to expect that string theory might be able to say something about these three mysteries, okay, inflation and dark energy and dark matter. Okay, that's the subject of today's talk. Okay, so let me remind you a little bit about string theory. I guess I don't need to, but just in case, and also just to stress what aspects of string theory interest me. Okay, so there are many good things about string theory. First of all, because different particles are represented as different oscillations of a string, so there is a good possibility to explain a complicated phenomena in the universe by less elements. This is the spirit of unified theory, so this is really good. And also, this theory includes gravity and have a good control of quantum correction, so they are very good. But there is something unusual. space time is 10 or 11 dimensions in string theory. So we have to hide those extra dimensions, 6 or 7. And one of the ways is to compactify those extra dimensions. So this is very easy to understand. If we consider, say, electric cable seen from far away. And if you see the surface of the cable, then it's two dimensional. I mean, this direction along the length and this direction along the surface. But if you see it from far away, you don't see this direction. And you see just one dimension. Okay. So similarly, if extra dimensions are compactified to a small size, then we don't see at low energy. That's the idea of compactification. And the other idea is called brain work. In this case, we suppose that our universe is confined in a surface, which is three dimensional, in higher dimension. So because we are confined on this surface, we just see three-dimensional space, not higher dimension. But gravity, only gravity can probe extra dimensions. That's the idea of brain world. Okay. And the model which I would like to talk today includes, the kind of combination of these two ideas, compactification and brain world. So we consider both compactified space as well and brain. Okay. Next, I'd like to remind you that until 2002, there was really bad thing about string theory. Actually, in string theory, people try to find a Dojita solution with stabilized moduli, but people couldn't do that. Actually, there was no-go theorem saying that it's impossible to find Dojita solution in four dimensions. So if this is correct physically, then string theory seems to contradict with inflation and dark energy. Because inflation and dark energy are kind of accelerated expansion of the universe and related to Dojita solution. So you have to avoid this situation. Otherwise, there seems no way to reconcile with cosmology, and the cosmic rules doesn't cross. That's really bad. But in 2003, those people found a solution. By considering effects which were not taken into account in the previous no-go theorem. In the previous no-go theorem, they didn't consider some non-power turbative effects and also brains. Brains are extended objects in string theory. Okay. So this is the situation which those people considered to evade the no-go theorem. So they started from 10 dimensions because string theory is formulated in 10 dimensions, okay, and divided into 4 dimensions and 6 dimensional extra dimensions. They compactified this part into a small manifold called Carabial. And they put some fluxes. Then fluxes gravitates, and the geometry is modified in a way that this part is warped and stretched. And this part is called warped throat. And they stabilized the whole shape of the extra dimension by fluxes. And after that, they stabilized the volume by this non-partial effects. Okay. But at this level, the four-dimensional part has negative cosmology constant. So it is ADS, rather than Dojita solution. But at this level, all moduli are stabilized. So this situation is called warped flux compactification, because this part is warped and includes flux, and the whole extra dimension is compactified. After that, they included anti-D brains here to make this four-dimensional part to be Dojita spacetime with positive cosmology constant. This is a situation in which they found Dojita solution in string theory. Okay. I think some of you might think that this is really strange situation, I mean that the extra dimension, I mean manifold extra dimension, I mean manifold of extra dimension is strange shape, has strange shape. But this is very similar to, in some sense, similar to our universe. I mean, our universe is at the larger scale. Large scale is homogeneous. But think about black hole at the center of galaxy, or neutron stars, or something like that. Then the geometry near the center of galaxy is really warped, and or the, near the neutron star, geometry is warped. So the locally, we have a lot of geometry looks which looks like throat. So our universe looks like this. And the only difference is that this happens in the extra dimension. So this is kind of natural. If we consider the fact that gravity is attractive and makes structure. Okay. Anyway, in this situation, it seems that string theory might be able to say something about the energy and deflation. So today, I'd like to talk about cosmology with what flux compactification. In particular, model of string brain inflation. I mean, I'd like to show, explain those three models of inflation in the context of warped flux compactification. The first one is done with my students in Tokyo, and the second one is pretty much in progress with Jeff Kaufman in Toronto, and the third one is already in the archive. So, may I go on to the first model? If you don't have any question. Okay, so the first one, warped DBI inflation. Okay, so in the context of KKLT model, those people considered model of inflation. And this is brain inflation, the so-called brain inflation embedded in the KKLT model. So they considered a pair of D brain and anti-D brain in this extra dimension. Okay, they put anti-D3 brains at the bottom of the throat and mobile D3 brain. In this case, the distance between these brains plays a role of inflaton. I mean, this kind of extra dimension is everywhere in our universe, I mean, this point, that point, and also anytime. So the shape and the volume of extra dimension are fields, but they are fixed by modular stabilization. In this case, the only this distance is a light field. So this plays the role of inflaton. That's the idea. And however, they found a problem. If they, they found that this inflaton gets the mass of all the Hubble square, Hubble parameter of four-dimensional part. On the other hand, successive inflation with almost scaling invariant spectrum requires that mass must be much lower. So we must fine-tune to achieve this. For example, by considering the phi dependence of the superpotential of the modular field, we can get extra term contributing to the mass of the inflaton, and in principle, we can fine-tune.
Is that one fine-tuning, or is it many fine-tunings? Do you have to tune one term in the superpotential, or do you have to tune many separate terms?
Yeah, I think in principle, there are many terms. And one way is to include, for example, a phi independence to double zero and a. But modular potential may be more complicated. In that case, we have a lot of parameters.
What you mean by many fine tunings is you have to tune not just the behavior of the superpotential at one point, but you sort of have to make it.
A trajectory.
Yeah, there's some shape that it has to have over
a
range of phi. But is that right?
At least during the period, we have to make sure that potential is almost flat in the period in which the structure, density perturbation is produced, because it is directly related to the observation.
But you could also invent a different scenario. I'm not saying that it's it would work here. I don't know,
right.
But if you think of doing something like curvature.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Right?
So I'll mention later. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Okay. So this is kind of fine tuning. So if we have mass of order Hubble, then it would stop inflation. But this is based on dynamics of a scalar with canonical kinetic term, usual kinetic term. But actually, the Brayton position is described by nonlinear action called DBI action. So we should take into account to investigate whether this would really stop inflation or not. Okay, that's the idea of Silverstein and Tom in 2003. Okay. So in this model, we consider mobile D3 brain with relativistic speed because we'd like to make the nonlinear term relevant. So the phi must move fast. In this case, the brain position or the scalar field from the point of view of four dimension is described by this kind of action. Okay. Here, the phi, the scalar field is related to the radial position of the brain, and the t is brain tension multiplied by some work factor.
So where does that square root come from?
Yes. Oh, this comes from the action describing the DBI. D brain.
I see.
If we expand this with respect to this, the leading term is just usual kinetic power. I mean, usual canonical kinetic term. But in principle, if phi dot is large, the higher term becomes the relevant.
But that's an exact result the way you've written it in this scenario, not just some modeling.
Right. If we consider these three brains in covered background, we get this kind of.
That comes from the geometrical description of this brain.
Right.
So it's not just some silly model. It's actually forced on you by the geometry.
So the D brain is moving in the extra dimension, and because extra dimension is everywhere in our universe, so the position of the brain is a kind of field from the four dimensional point of view, and the position of the brain is described by the so-called DBI action, so that this is obtained from the dynamics of D brain. Okay. So there are many good things about this model. First of all, this is a kind of k-inflation with general speed of sound. So that this is a new model of string inflation, so we should look at it. And if this is successful, then we don't need slow roll, because this is considering relativistic speed, which means phi is moving fast. Okay, so we might solve the eta problem pointed out by KKLMT. Moreover, this predicts the large non-Gaussianity. So this may be a signature of string inflation. Okay. By the way, this FNL parameter is the parameterizing deviation from Gaussianity. I mean, if we consider slow roll inflation, then the potential is almost flat. So the perturbation around it behaves like a massless field. So the spectrum is almost Gaussian. But here we are considering very fast roll inflation. So the nonlinearity of the action may produce deviation from Gaussianity.
So what you had on the previous page, the formula for gamma squared, can you go back?
Right. Gamma is essentially this one. So if the phi dot is large enough, then this becomes smaller and smaller, and gamma becomes large.
Are there limits on this FNL on the next page?
Yeah. So the gamma, if gamma is very large, then FNL becomes very large. And
so what are the experimental limits on that? Hmm? Are there experimental limits on
Yeah, that's right. So the FNL must be smaller than 300 or something like that. And depending on the three-point function, the traditional three-point function, if we consider the ordinary slow roll inflation, then the FNL must be smaller than 100 or something. But in this case,
okay.
Yeah. So okay, I'll come back to this point. So there are many good things about this model, but actually there is a very bad thing. Those people found that this model, in particular the so-called UV DBI inflation, in which the brain moves toward the bottom, that model is called UV DBI inflation. On the other hand, if you consider brain moving up, then that is called IR DBI inflation. Now, anyway, the UV DBI inflation with large non-Gaussianity seems inconsistent with W1 data. And
is this the FNL or is it something else?
Right, so if we I'll explain.
Okay.
So this can be consistent only in the limit when it goes back to the original slow-roll KKLMT inflation. That's what they found. So if this is correct, then it is kind of disappointing. The reason for this is kind of simple. So we demand, in order to get stringy signature of this model, we'd like to make FNL large enough to be detectable. So if we demand that FNL is large but not too large, 300 is kind of upper bound from observation, and if FNL is larger than say 20 or 10 or 20, then there is a good possibility to be detected in the near future. So let's assume that FNL is large, but not too large. Then this requires that the tensor to scalar ratio, written as R, must be large. And this demands that delta phi over M Planck must be large, where delta phi is change of field during inflation, especially during the time in which density perturbation is produced. Okay. So we want to make this quantity large. So we must make delta phi large enough, keeping M Planck fixed. Okay. So large delta phi demands that slot must be large, long. Because, as I told you, the phi scalar field is related to the radial position of the brain. So the large delta phi means large delta rho.
What is T3 in that equation?
Yes, sorry. This is the attention of brain. So this is given by string scale and string coupling constant.
So you can't make that large.
Right, yeah. This is fixed. So in order to accommodate large separation, large motion, the throat must be long. Otherwise, we cannot accommodate large motion over a scalar field or brain. But if throat is long, the volume of extra dimension becomes large. On the other hand, in order to make M Planck not too large, the volume of extra dimension must be large, because M Planck is not fundamental quantity, but this is derived quantity from string scale and string coupling constant and the volume of extra dimension. If the volume of extra dimension is large, then gravity is weakened and the Planck scale becomes large. So the not too large M Planck requires not too large volume of extra dimension, but they are in confliction. That is what they found.
Let's see, I'm a little bit confused. You could have M Planck large, but you...
Yeah, but if we make M Planck large compared to the string scale, then it makes throat short.
Right.
Because volume must be large. Volume must be, so
okay,
if this is large, then the, if implant is too large, then this ratio becomes too small, and we cannot make FNL large enough. So the general conclusion is that FNL should be small. Then we'll go back to the original proliferation. That's kind of disappointing. This is just some information to explain the details of this, but probably you are not interested in the details. Okay. So
now, the small Gaussian is not necessarily bad.
Right. But we cannot tell whether it is from string theory or usual field theory.
So and also, he wants to avoid this fine-tuning, right? And that leads him into that regime.
Yeah.
sorry, which fine-tuning again?
So the in order to get successful slow roll type inflation, the potential must be flat enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that means that we need to fine-tune the potential. But if inflation can happen when the scalar field rolls fast, then we can just have speed potential. So there is a possibility to have inflation without fine tuning. Maybe that's the idea that they found it impossible. Yeah. So with Kinoshita and Kobayashi, I try to avoid this situation. The idea is as follows. So the essential reason for this inconsistency of trivial inflation with WNOP data is this fact. I mean this part. Large delta phi implies long throat. So you want to modify this part. Actually this conclusion is inevitable if we consider D3 brain, because D5 is linearly related to D rho, and this is fixed. However, if we consider wraps D5 or D7, we can get larger delta phi from the same throat, because essentially this is a volume of 2 cycles or 4 cycles. Over which D5 or D7 are out. So if this factor is very large, then delta phi can be very large with the same delta rho. So from the same throat, we might be able to get large enough delta phi. That's the idea. So
but these things have more degrees of freedom than just 5 somehow, right?
The same, but the degrees of freedom is the same, but the volume, this part actually is dominated by B field of the background, and this B field diverges, becomes larger and larger as we go up logarithmically. So this part becomes larger and larger. So for large rho or large phi, the phi and rho are not related linearly. But the phi grows more rapidly than in the case of D3. So we can have large delta phi for the same throw. And this actually improves a lot the situation. This is the idea. But after that, we looked at this model more carefully and found the problem again. Actually, the wrapped DBI inflation with large non-Gaussianity still requires a long throat. And same logic here. This part was improved, but still, if we try to get large delta phi, we need large delta rho, which means large throat, a long throat. This is not as long as for D3, but still long. And in order to support this long throat, we need a large Euler number for the Calabi-Yau. And actually, non-Calabi-Yau manifold cannot sustain such a long throat, let alone 43. The reason is, throat. In order to have long throat, we need to turn on background charge a lot, because throat is supported by background fluxes, as I explained before. And so we need a lot of charge. And this charge must be consistently included in the background. And this requires large Euler number for the Calabi-Yau manifold. And this exceeds the non-maximal value, unfortunately.
So somehow the previous thing,
yes,
in some way, the throat had to be long, sort of in units of M Planck.
Right.
Now, in some sense, it's long in this charge
right.
space.
That's right.
The bound that you're...
Yeah. And actually...
So for that maximal value, how big an increase do you get in front of that T3
I think so.
Row?
Yes, but I mean, there are no-go theorem for larger Euler number, but it's kind of disappointing. I mean, it indicates some difficulty to get this kind of situation.
Well, I'm just trying to get a feel. Suppose you take this value of pi.
Yes.
You have some number in front of d rho that used to be t3.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that change? I'm just trying to get a feeling for what happens. You have a new tension, of course, and then you have some big number. How big is that number in that pi case?
Right. So I don't remember the numbers, but we need to get 100 or 1,000 times larger or more. Yeah, it's really, I mean,
what number are you aiming for is the coefficient of rho?
So
I just don't know how big a number you need there in order to make things work. How big should that number be to make everything work?
I see, 1,000 or something like that.
About 1,000.
Yeah.
And
or more, maybe.
This
but
Euler charge gives you much less than that.
And the problem is that if we increase the Euler number, then we'll have more moduli, Euler moduli. And we have to stabilize all of them. And it makes life difficult. Yeah, anyway, this is what we found. So wrapping d5 or d7 over cycle changes the relation between the deep brain position and the inflaton field, and improves the conflation between dBi inflation and double map data, but still we found the problem. Successful wrapped dBi inflation requires Euler number larger than the non-maximal value. So that's what we found for dBi inflation. So may I go on to the second model? So second model is really a work in progress. This is a chaotic brain inflation. So let me remind you what KKLT did. So they introduced anti-D brains after stabilizing all modula. Actually, without anti-D brains, we end up with negative cosmology constant, and we cannot play with cosmology because our universe has positive cosmological constant. So we really need anti-D brains or other Tsuji breaking brains. So what happens if Tsuji breaking brains move in the extra dimension? I mean, this is the position of the D brain is field from the point of view of four dimension, so they can move. Actually, this just rotates and falls towards the bottom from the point of view of higher dimensions, but from the four dimensional point of view, actually this behaves as dark matter. I mean, energy density associated with this motion behaves like A to minus 3. So this behaves like dark matter. But this is not related to inflation. So now let us consider large motion of this brain. And not like motion here, but just extend it to this region. Then we found that the potential looks like 5 to 4. This kind of potential is used in textbook to explain chaotic inflation. So why don't we try to construct model of chaotic inflation in this context? That's the idea.
Okay. Actually,
when we draw the so-called phase portrait, we found chaotic inflation as an attractor. I mean, this is a the phase portrait is is a way to draw the set of solutions at the same time. And this is this axis is a value of field phi, and this axis is kind of momentum phi dot divided by some function. And each arrow represents the time derivative of this quantity and this quantity. So the system, if you start from here, the system moves in this way, and attracted. The system is attracted to this line wherever you started. So that this is a kind of attractor, and actually represents the chaotic inflation. So we can have chaotic inflation, but the problem is that can we have long enough chaotic inflation to explain
the large, to explain why our universe is so large and so flat and so on.
Can you remind me what the word chaotic means in this context?
Oh, yes. So the... So the suppose we have potential like this. So if we started with the Planckian energy, we don't know where phi was, because the breaks down, and you cannot set initial condition in a consistent way. So that when universe is cooled down sufficiently, then the phi should be anywhere. And suppose it started from here, then actually without expansion of the universe, it just rolls down and oscillates and never have a slow roll inflation. But the equation motion for phi is something like this. And because of this factor, this is not just the oscillation, but the damped oscillation.
Right.
And this is large enough. And if phi is very large, then this wins. And scalar field rolls very slowly. And during this effort, we have inflation. That's the idea of chaotic inflation. So the initial condition is chaotic. Okay. So wherever you started from, we'll end up with chaotic inflation. If you have enough time. The problem is whether we really have enough time or not. In other words, the length of the throat is long enough or not. If the throat is too short, then the brain approaches to the bottom very quickly, and we don't have enough time to have enough inflation. Okay. So in general, the successful chaotic inflation requires the initial value of phi is of the order Planck scale. But for the stack of anti-D3 brain, the answer is no. Actually, for the same reason as I explained for DBI inflation, the length of the throat cannot be made large compared to the Planck scale. And it is suppressed by this quantity, where ND3 bar is number of anti-D3 brains, and M and K are integers
representing charge of, I mean, the fluxes. So the M and K must be large to make the background space-time and have to have how to say, long enough, I mean, warp thought in a consistent way. For example, G, I mean, M times string coupling constant must be large enough to make supergravity approximation valid. And K must also be large to make the throat long. Okay.
So that ratio can never get large.
Right,
the
that's
MD3
right.
The three bar gets
yeah.
large, those other things have to get large
yeah,
to
right.
support the.
Yeah.
So
right.
what,
say
the, what is K precisely? Could you define it?
Yes. So the we have, say, in this relation, we have the so-called Ramon-Ramon fluxes, and M represents the charge associated with this flux. And K is associated with the so-called Null-Schwarz fluxes, and this is represents this, I mean, flux of this direction. So the both are integrals. And actually, the background has D3 brain charge, and which is nothing but MK. So the background D brain charge is in the denominator, and the charge of anti-D3 brain, I mean, this stack of anti-D3 brain is supposed to be probe brain. So the, in order to be in order to make the model consistent, this must be smaller than this one. So that in this case, we cannot get large enough file. That's the situation. Okay. But the point is that, as in the previous example of DBI inflation, if we wrap D5 or D7, we have better result. I mean, for D5, we get this. And for D7 brands, we have this. So the one factor of K disappears here, and one factor of K goes into numerator. So there is a possibility to have a large enough value of 5 compared to Planck scale for D7.
Is there an intuitive way of understanding
yes.
why K moves in position? We're going, say, from D3 to D5. Why does the K disappear?
Right. So the not I'm not sure the intuitive explanation why K moves, but I can explain why the D7 have better result. And the reason is that the same for DBI inflation. If we wrap D5 or D7, then the, there is an extra factor for the relation between the phi and the position of the brain. I mean, so D5 is something like
so you get that square root factor,
yeah.
and you're just saying that square root factor is proportional to K or something.
No, not exactly. Because, how to say, yeah, not exactly. But M and K are related to the length of the throat in some sense, because the hierarchy between here and here is written as exponential. And this is a hierarchy obtained at a random sundown. So if you like about the number of C5, sometimes. So if K is large, then the one factor becomes very small. And so the K and M are related to the geometry, especially for the length and so on. So that's why M and K appears here.
So the other question is
yes.
that when you start dealing with D5 and D7 right, and you want to get a lot of them, you have to worry about back reaction.
That's right, yes, yes.
So is it possible,
yeah.
I mean, the
yeah,
throats
really
are being sourced by little D3 brains, and
yeah.
now you're putting in these huge eight-dimensional
yeah.
slices.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
that's what we are still working on. And especially D7 is not easy to, I mean, back reaction
this table is very difficult because it couples to Dirac and many other things. So you have to be careful. But I just wanted to stress that there may be a possibility to have large phi for the same throat as in the DDI. But I wouldn't say this is the answer, but there's a hope. So there are many open issues for chaotic brain inflation. So first of all, we have to take into account effects of volume modular stabilization, coupling to curvature, and also backlash to the KS geometry and so on. But if this is successful, then this will be the first realization of chaotic inflation in string theory. So we should think about it more carefully and seriously. Okay, that's the second part. May I go on to the third part?
So once again, the main reason for trying to do this is so that you can avoid tuning the potential of the phi in the normal situation. Right?
Not that one. I mean, so far, there is no model of chaotic inflation in string theory.
Couldn't you just have a small Gaussian? Non-Gaussian.
Yeah. So this has nothing to do with Gaussian, no Gaussian, and I just wanted to show one example of chaotic inflation in the string theory. So far there's no model of chaotic inflation.
Isn't another motivation if you have this very large delta phi? You can start to get enhanced gravity waves, right?
Right, right. Yes.
So you know you could look. In other words,
suppose I didn't care about seeing any effects of string theory. I was happy to not see any deviation from Gaussian behavior. Happy not to see gravity waves.
Even
in that situation, you still don't have a string model that works.
Right. So that. Even without large non-Gaussianity, we don't have model of chaotic inflation in string theory. It's really difficult to have chaotic inflation in string theory. That's why we are trying to find one example. There's no single example so far.
But ultimately, the problem with chaotic inflation is the long delta phi.
This is what Nima was talking about. When Nima was here, he was had a different motivation, but he was also talking about the question of whether you could get generally string inflation with delta phi larger than M Planck. So that's an open question, whether you can do that.
Right. But I'm asking whether string inflation without large delta phi over M Planck is still okay.
In this case, if phi is not as large as Planck value, then we don't have inflation.
In chaotic inflation, but he's talking about non-chaotic inflation.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
You can get it in string theory, yes.
That's not what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I don't know if there's an explicit example.
So the problems that you're facing may just be forcing us into...
Yeah.
I think...
The single field inflation probably can't make it. Nobody knows how to make it.
So let me say in this way, so in field theory, we have many models of inflation. And my question is, which model of inflation can be embedded in string theory? And which model cannot be embedded in string theory? And so far, the slow roll inflation was embedded in string theory with fine tuning. Chaotic inflation, so far, no. So
okay.
That's why I'm trying.
All right, okay.
Yeah. So may we go on to the third part now?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, again, related to KKMT model. So let me remind you again. What they found is that the inflaton gets mass of all the hoppers, and we have to fine-tune it to cancel the large mass. Okay. Again, this would stop inflation. But this is due to the so-called conformal coupling.
Actually, Shinji,
yes.
It's not. It's a very tricky thing in the.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually go and look the key aspect, the key part of that paper is the appendix F. In that appendix F, you have to go and dig through what it is that they calculate is, you know, to be the mass of the inflaton around the background.
Yeah.
And they will actually calculate something that will be of order, some number of order 1 times h squared, which is some special limit in limits 2. In fact, their conclusion is that given that, you know, what they don't know about string theory, there is a statement that, in fact, there is nothing prevents them from taking it to be any arbitrary volume they want. However, the key aspect is that how they compute it. Well, the way they get this number is from the superpotential, not directly from the conformal power. Now, you are completely right to say that this looks exactly the same as the coupling R over 12, phi squared, around this interspace. But actually, if you go away from this interspace, their coupling, 2H squared, I mean, their master, you know, 2H squared, will behave differently than R over 12.
I see. So
in general. But I think it's probably fair to take this as a starting statement to simply explore, okay? What happens?
I see.
In other words, in the Sitter space, there is a degeneracy between different contributions to the master. And this may be one of the contributions.
Right.
There actually are more.
Yeah, so actually, I think it's fair to say that what is the origin, I mean, we don't know what the origin of that mass term, because they calculated, and they didn't take into account that the 40 million part is Dojita space time. And if we naively write the mass term in a covariant way, then this is a unique way, almost. And
barring the potential,
yeah.
Barring the potential terms as well, right? It's functional, some potential can just happen to
give
you a term.
Yeah, I agree that we don't know whether this is really conformal because of this coupling or not.
Wanted to say that there is a mass term which is a manifest consequence of some symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think this.
Yeah, I think this is related to conformal symmetry.
Yes,
yeah.
But you know, again,
of ADS.
It's the degeneracy around the sitter, which is anyway.
Yeah, so it's fair to say we don't know. But I think my point is that this is related to the approximate ADS symmetry in the throat, and so I think this must be the case. But yeah, depending on your point of view. Anyway, so I'd like to start from this conformal coupling, namely the in the Lagrangian of the four-dimensional effective field theory, we have this kind of term, where R is the rich scalar of four-dimensional spacetime, representing freedom of universe, and phi is the inflaton. Okay. So, actually, So, however, people have not yet looked at modification of Einstein equation. Because, I mean, if we have this kind of term, then by taking a functional derivative with respect to metric, you'll get extra term to the Einstein equation. You don't think so?
No, I think so, but I do think people look to it. There's a paper from 1989 by Futamase and Maeda that looked to it.
Yeah, but, okay, in this context, no. Yeah.
Sure, but if once you go to effective theory, description in 4D, it's the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, but actually, I'm recently talking with Maeda, and this is interesting, and
it's certainly interesting to explore what you can do.
Yeah, right.
But some basic things they look at. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so the point is that maybe other people are not interested in, but let me say a word. So that what I'm talking with Keiji is that in the Einstein frame, we don't have inflation for the large value of phi, and the expansion is power law, and in the end we'll have inflation in the regime where this term is subdominant compared to the cosmological constant term. But this is almost trivial. But if we go to the original frame, then things are completely different. I mean, even in the regime where Einstein frame is experiencing power law expansion, we have accelerating expansion in the original frame. So that's really different from
That's why I'm not saying that this is all bad. You know, I think this is an interesting observation, which needs the right problem to solve.
Anyway, we can talk later.
Sure.
Anyway, I think we should take into account. So this is our idea. And so the model is described in this way with Guzai 1.6. And actually we have terms like additional mass term. I mean, if we move this term to right hand side, then this looks like extra mass term. And this also looks mass term. But also we have additional term like this and this. Okay. So we should take them into account. And the result is this. Okay. Again, this is a so-called phase portrait representing a set of solutions. This axis is field phi, and this is axis represents momentum. And the momentum goes to zero very quickly, and we have inflation.
Yeah.
But this is not slow roll inflation, because momentum is not phi dot here. Pi is phi dot plus h phi. So pi equals zero implies that phi rolls as 1 over a. So that when, so for example here, when phi is large, that it rolls very quickly. I mean, phi is moving very quickly. So this can be called rapid roll inflation. So let me explain why we get this kind of behavior in a simple model. If the potential is flat enough, it can be approximated by the constant. Okay. In this case, we have equation motion like this. This is a Friedman equation, and this is equation motion for scalar field, where this quantity is defined in this way. Phi times A, where A is the scale factor of units. Okay, so from this, we get the very simple result, and phi is constant plus constant times eta, where eta is defined in this way. By substituting these two here, we get this. This can be integrated, and this is the final result, and for large A, we get this kind of behavior. This is nothing but Dojita solution.
Is this somehow that in Einstein frame this thing is just some FRW type solution,
right,
but
that's
phi
right.
In that frame,
yes.
The description is that phi is rolling,
right,
and the
yes.
Metric, the phi is like a dilaton, so it's
yes.
So you can also think of it as somehow dilaton inflation.
Yes, yes, in some sense. And dilaton.
Just not inflation. The power is 3/4.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever.
In the Einstein frame.
But
right.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
But in terms of the, so there, then there, the assumption is that matter couples to some phi-dependent metric, not the Einstein metric. And in that metric, the one that matter couples to, it does look like
right.
Exponential
yeah,
expansion.
Yes.
So
and that will work provided something else, not really the folding homogeneities, whatever, flatness, things and so on and so forth associated with the gravity. Mm-hmm. Because gravity
right.
Actually kills the previous one.
Right.
But this is what I mean. This is an interesting mechanism that looks for the right problem to solve. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you wanted to have second stage of inflation, get rid of some moduli or maybe, you know, blob the universe by an extra additional amount of, you know, late 30, 40, 50, 60 folds, then it can work quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the problem you're saying you don't like it because of just gravity and homogeneities. That's the only problem.
Well, not
this?
Necessarily. You know, anything that couples the same way as the graviton does.
Yeah.
Will
okay.
Not be helped along
yeah.
By this. And
right.
In some sort of string theory, supergravity, there will be lots of things like that. Something needs to fix that. But once that's fixed, this can come in and help a lot.
It can form structure in particular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, in general, we have potential. So that the question now is when inflation happens. I mean, the condition must be imposed on the potential. And usually, in order to get usual slow inflation, we need two conditions. Epsilon eta, defined in this way, must be small. But they are not enough for chaotic inflation. Conformal rabbit roll inflation. The additional conditions are written in this way. And actually, if we have power law potential like this, this condition is not satisfied. Because for the power law potential, this is constant and of order 1. So we cannot have this condition. But the potential for D anti-D pair satisfies all conditions. So that's why we have this behavior. This was obtained for this kind of potential, which is relevant for D anti-D pair.
Okay,
I'll skip this. Okay, what is interesting about this model is that the E4-rings and mass hierarchy are related in some way. So the attractor solution is phi is 0, which means phi is 1 over a. So the a times phi is constant. So the number of E4-ring is just a logarithm of a ratio of scale factor, but it's written in this way, namely logarithm of ratio between the value of scalar field at the beginning and the end of the equation. Okay. On the other hand, the Randall-Sandoram says that the mass hierarchy between the bottom of the throat and in the bulk region are related by this factor. So the condition for enough inflation and stable gravity are more or less the same. So this says something about the relation between E4-rings and mass hierarchy, and I think it's interesting. So let me summarize this part of the talk. So conformal coupling does not necessarily spoil inflation, and brain anti-brain inflation may work without severe fine-tuning. And E4-rings and mass hierarchy are related in some way, and although I didn't have time to explain, the modulated reheating can generate scale invariant perturbation if it is properly implemented. Okay. So let me summarize this talk.
Let's see, can we just summarize the third section for a moment?
Yes.
So it's not slow roll.
Right.
So that
because
means
phi
ends
at 1 over
8. Can't fall into the chaotic scenario, is that right?
So
it can.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah,
in the,
what
you're
calling
we have
chaotic
potential
like
this, we don't have
scenario.
Yeah.
Do you see for dimension of brain? You don't.
Here I'm considering D3 brain. Because D5 and D7, I think they don't couple to curvature conformality.
So this is driven by the conformal coupling of C. I mean, if you didn't have C, then this would go away. Is that right?
But C is 1/6.
Right. I know. I understand. But if you set C to 0, then this would all go away, is that right?
In that case, we go back to the usual
right,
slow
okay.
inflation.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so it seems that we can really enjoy cosmology in the framework of string theory. Of course, it doesn't mean it works, but at least we can enjoy it. And the first model is, which I explained, is RAPD5. Or D7, and this improves the situation with double up data a lot. The second model was chaotic brain inflation, and if successful, this would be the first realization of chaotic inflation in string theory. The third one was the conformal rapid roll inflation. So this may be possible without fine tuning, and mass hierarchy and E4-rings are related in some way. A lot of interesting subjects are still remaining, so let's enjoy it. Okay, thank you very much.
I'd like to suggest that we have further discussion over lunch. Unless there's something pressing. Thanks, Shinji, again.